this. Here. Y'all know who this is? Yeah, how many of y'all listened to that album before? Dang, that's it. Y'all know. Okay. Y'all know these songs. Like, I know it say Still Ghetto on the thing, but it's okay, right? I put this up here because there's a song on this album called Fabulous. Right? And at the end of this song, Fabulous, there are kids singing Never G-I-V-E-U-P and keep your H-E-A-D-U-P. So I'm going to need y'all to participate for me real quick. Everybody just go ahead and give me this. Okay. Maybe slow it down just a little bit. Never G-I-V-E-U-P and keep your H-E-A-D-U-P. Never G-I-V-E-U-P and keep your H-E-A-D-U-P. Never G-I-V-E-U-P and keep your H-E-A-D-U-P. That's a vibe right there, right? That's good. But where's that coming from? Like, where's the spiritual connotation in that? Where are you going with that? Think about what he's saying. Simple things. We just heard it. Never give up and keep your head up. And when I think about it as a Christian, when I keep my head up, who am I looking at? The Lord. So I'm giving you things that you can remember. Say, I can't remember scripture, but you can remember never G-I-V-E. U-P. Seriously, things like that. Have you ever taught something to a child and had to give them a song? We're not any different. We're not any different. Whatever you have to do to get yourself to remember who you're worshiping and that he's sovereign, that he's in his place, you got to do what you got to do. Keep your head up. Nothing good comes when you have your head down. Ever. Football, you have your head down, not a good thing. If I tell my wife I love her with my head down, not a good thing. All walks of life. You can't do anything. You can't driving with your head down. Can't do it. Right? If you go to the next slide, right? What's this a picture of? This yellow thing here. What's that? Who is this? I know. Okay. Give me a break. Now I know. I know. It's for the sake of the slide. Help me. I know. It ain't right. But it's the best one I can get. Okay. This is Jesus Christ, the Son. Now again, homophones, learn this in Riverdale Baptist. The Son and the Son, right? This is a picture of a sunrise. In order to see the sunrise, I must go outside. And if I'm not paying attention, if I have my head down when the sun rises, I'll miss the movement of the sun. If you sleep too long, the sun will already be in its place. It's very rare that you get to see the sun move. But you have to be alert and paying attention when you're doing that. The same thing goes for this man. If I'm doing this, though my circumstances are sucky right now, you'll miss him saying, I got something over here, but you're like this. God, what are you doing? I'm trying to help. But you're walking around with your head down. Because you're sad or you're in a situation that doesn't seem right. But he's saying, I'm moving, you're missing it. Keep your head up, because the sun might just move. He might just move, all right? Let's go back to scripture. 1 Thessalonians again, 5:16-18. We're going to stay here for a while. We're going to break down each one of these verses, 16, 17, and 18. Verse 16 says this. Simple verse. Always be joyful. Always. So let's talk. Let's go see what Webster has to say about always. At all times, forever, at any rate, in any event. Seems simple enough, right? Holidays are coming up. There's somebody in your family that always does something during the holidays, and that could be good or bad. Y'all laughing because y'all got that person in your head right now. It's like every year she's going to make that nasty mac and cheese, and we got to eat it. Some of y'all, I'm just telling you, nobody make nasty mac and cheese in my family, but I know some people who do. You know, it's like, ugh, okay. But like, for instance, my grandmother makes pies and cakes every pound cake, sweet potato pie, every Thanksgiving. True, they're delicious. And you can count on it every single time. It's always going to happen. Always. It's no, without a doubt, you can count on it, this thing happen. That's what always is. Let's go to joyful. Let's see what it says about joyful. The emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Let's look at the very last part. Or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. What one desires. As believers, our ultimate desire should be what? Christ. Amen. If you are a believer, you already possess it. You already have it. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And if I possess something, no one can take it away from me freely. Unless I give it to them or by force. But freely, they can't take it. When you possess Christ, no one or nothing can take the joy that is in you because it's there forever. The joy doesn't leave because it's my own possession. I desire Christ more than anything. I have him inside of me. Now I have this thing called joy. Always, always be joyful. Verse 17. Never stop praying. Huh? Some say pray without ceasing. How is that possible, right? But let's just talk about it real quick. Staying connected to the Father through prayer is very, very important. This should be our number one line of communication, right? My mom can attest to this as well. But has your GPS ever failed you on the way? I freak out because I don't know where I'm going. And I've lived in PG County for about 20 years. And I still don't know where I'm going. I know. It's a shame. But if you've ever been taking a road trip and all of a sudden your phone cut off or your GPS says lost signal, I'm going to pull over to my phone charge. I'm not going to keep driving. I can read, yeah, but I take the wrong exits even now. Going to work. It happens. My wife just kindly taps me and say, where you going? And I'm like, oh, just turn around. With my GPS, if it failed you, without my GPS, sometimes, believe it, I can get to my mom's house, my grandma's house. Both of them. I get to, I can get to work most days. I can get home. I can get some places without my GPS, but it's going to come a time where I have no clue where I need to go. And in order for me to get to where I need to go, I need to have some kind of connection to my GPS. I need to have a signal. It's the same thing with prayer. That's what prayer is. It's our signal, our GPS, our connection to God. And when that thing is broken, you might be able to navigate for a second. Like the things that are obvious right in front of your face, you might be able to navigate. But it's going to come a time where you don't know what you should be doing, which for me, it seems like every day. You have to continue. That's why he's saying never stop praying, because if you have that constant line of communication, if you have that direct line to a GPS, to a connection, you always know where you're going, what you're doing, and why you're doing it. Don't make the mistake I made. Go, 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 then pray. Pray, then go. I'm not leaving until my GPS is telling me that is where I need to go. I'm not going to drive and wait for it to come up. None of that. I'm waiting for it to calculate, 98%, 99%, 100%. Okay, let's go. Same thing with prayer. We shouldn't take a step. We shouldn't move until we prayed and we got direction from God on which way to go. It's the same thing, right? I want to give an example of this. So I want to come up here. This is very specific, right? Miss Tracy, are you a big football fan? Come on up here. Yeah, see that look? Yep, that's why I did that. Pastor Dwayne and knows the game. So I need you at one TV and the other one at the other, okay? If you could do these, this is 7 and 6 here. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up some coverages from football, like real stuff, coverages here. And we're going to see which one of them can get it right. But here's the thing. Okay, the first slide. What's the answer say? Go ahead. You just go ahead. Oh, cover four. Why you ain't know that? All right. No, I didn't see cover four. Ooh. Next slide. What you got? Ooh, cover two. Step your game up. This next one right here. What's the next one? Ooh, what's that say? Woo! Everybody going, one man to man. What? You don't play Madden, I understand. Thank y'all. And she even gave you time. Like, she looked at you like, you don't know. But why was Miss Tracy able to have that? Because she was connected to me, the person with the answers. I handed her the card. So she knew the answers because she was connected to the person who made it, who made the slides and put the stuff up there. So all she had to do was look down and say, oh, that's cover four. I read that. Oh, I prayed about that. I know what that is. But here's Pastor Dwayne over here like, I thought I knew something about this football stuff on Sunday, but that's the difference. That's the difference of somebody who prays, who never stops praying, and somebody that prays when I feel like it or when something's bad. I'm going to have a point. Sometimes I'm going to get it right. Sometimes I might just know that that's cover four. Ooh, cover four. But then this come up, and you're like, what is that? But God's like, I got it if you would just talk to me, and I can help you out. So remember that when we talk about that. People, you know, my teammate in college, I wrote about him in my book. He was a different guy. I love him to death. Name's Irv. And Irv literally would take his phone and put it up to his ear and talk to God. That's how he applied this verse. He'd be like, Shep, sometimes I just got to, when I'm going through, I just pick up my phone in public. People don't think you're weird when you do that. I said, you know what, Herb, that is pretty smart. So you could be like, man, I'm tired of these folks in here today. And if they say something else to me, Lord, I'm going to lose it. And they like, oh, he's just on the phone with his mom or something. You know what I mean? Like, but that's how he got it. You know what? I need to talk to God throughout the day. Sometimes I'm in class. Sometimes I'm in places where I can't do it. But everybody takes phone calls, right? Right. They do. Whatever you got to do to make sure that you're talking to God on a regular basis, make sure that's happening. Whether it just be, you know what, just, you know, you can just talk. You know, it don't have to be a bad thing. It just be like, Lord, you are good. And keep moving. Just constantly in communion with him all the time, right? And think about this. People who pray to God don't seem to be as worried, like don't seem to worry as much. How many of y'all know somebody who pray a lot? And they, like, the world could be ending. They like, oh, God is faithful. I'm like, look around. There was a lady that worked in our cafeteria. I broke my foot. I walked in with a boot. And she said, she said, what happened? I got an attitude. It's broken. Foot's broke. I'm out for the season. Well, God is in control. My foot is broke. But God can heal it, the doctor says. It's broke. And in that time, she was somebody who, but this woman prayed every day. I never seen her with an attitude. Like, you could try. I mean, I've seen people throw money. Like, I'll stand behind the desk with her, and people would just throw their money on the counter. And here I am ready. She'd be like, it's okay. I'm like, no, it ain't. It's because they got an attitude. You know, but she was always connected to the Father. Like, everything was that way. Let's look at Daniel. Daniel got in trouble for praying. When they said, you're going to the lion's den, he didn't lose his mind. Neither did his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, if you put us in the furnace, God's going to deliver us. And even if he doesn't, he's still great. They didn't say, oh, okay, brother, you all right, no furnace. We won't pray. I'm going to pray. Do what you want because I know who I'm talking to when I'm praying. Do what you want. Let's look at Jesus. He often withdrew to pray to his Father. He is God. But I still need to go pray and talk to my Father. Right before he got right before they came to get him, he was praying. He got up. Peter responded like all of us. Drew the knife, was like, no, you're not touching God. You're not doing it. And he's like, it's all right. He didn't flip out. He wasn't startled. He wasn't rattled. Yes, he's God and he knew everything. But still, he prayed before and said, your will be done, not my own. And the next thing that came, well, Lord, I just prayed to you, so this is your will. I'm going. Those who pray to God, they do not worry about it. All right, let's keep going here. Verse 18. This one we're gonna be here for a little bit. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. All these things in these sentences are commands more so. It's not, or just not, they're not suggestions. It's always, never, and be. If my parents told me those things, you always need to clean your room. You never need to talk bad. Be thankful because you could have nothing. When it comes with your parents, it's a little different. But this is the same thing he's saying. Always, never, and be. Want to figure it out. How to life. God with the answers. Always, never be. When they give you things like this in the Bible, it is imperative that we begin to really apply them to our lives to start to see the change that we want in our lives. Right? I like this because this is a good one because it says, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. This is God's will. We make that spooky in church today. Oh, I don't know. What's God's will? What is God's will for this situation? What is God's will for this? What is God? A lot of times, we seek after it so much, but it's right here in his word. There are a lot of verses. If you don't believe me, and if you do, try this week if you have time. Go home and start to look up verses that say something about God's will and make a list. You read through those verses when you're trying to make a decision. Align with those things. Therefore, you are in God's will now. That's how God's will works. And at that point, it's about you making a decision. Here's one of them, though. This is one part. All those things that always be thankful. For this is God's will. This would save us a lot of worry. We wouldn't be as, you know, tossed with the waves and just to and fro and up and down. I was an emotional 7-year-old, even all the way to high school, emotional. And it's funny because, like, my dad could tell you, I would be crying on the football field if something didn't go right. Like crying. He would come to me and say, take a deep breath. Relax. Or I could hear him yelling from the, let it go. Next play. Because I'm like, ah, man. But there's the thing, though. That's when we're doing this, when you're in these three things, I'm always joyful, never stop praying, and I'm thankful. You won't be like that. You won't be all, every time something happens. You'll be secure. You'll be secure. You won't have to worry about that. You won't be tossed with the wind and the waves. Anytime the Bible mentions God's will, take note. No, why isn't this happening? Well, let me check myself. Am I being joyful? Am I praying? And am I thankful? That's the start. If not, let's do that. Let's do that because this is what God wants. Even more, he says, well, this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. That's very specific. For you who belong to Christ Jesus. Why not? This is God's will for all. Why didn't he put that, you know? I tend to think that God knew it would be extremely difficult for those who don't believe in Jesus to live this way. That's why he said, this is God's word for you, like you who say you're believers, because you have the capacity. If anyone should be able to do it, those who follow Christ should. This is the best witness we have, I promise you. The best witness we have is when the world or things in our lives are going absolutely haywire. And you have somebody who doesn't believe in Christ watching you do these things. Be joyful, pray, and be thankful. And they're looking at you like, how in the world are you thankful and joyful? And why are you always praying? Your life is a mess. That is the best witness you can ever have. We all know somebody like that. Who I'm like, you, how are you happy right now? How are you, what are you, I don't get it. And here I am, just not even paying attention, not even thinking about the why. This person is excited and happy. I should be too. Think about somebody in your life. Think about somebody in your job. Who can watch you? And remember that they are watching. Remember that they are. You can. Sometimes, y'all, we're the only Bible that people read. And if you're going through a hardship, and you just, you know, like everybody else, they're gonna think you're no different. So what's so good about this Jesus guy? You're just as miserable as me. And that's a real statement. That's real. That's real. And when it comes to that lifestyle, living that, Jesus is always very specific about that in his word, about how we should do. He talks about even, you know, good for you. You believe, even the devil. I mean, even the demons believe. Anybody can praise God when things are good. That's the difference. You see people who don't even believe in God praising God when things are good. Everybody accept the word and say, I first and foremost want to thank my Savior, God. Everybody do that. The big man upstairs, you know, everybody get up there and they do that. When they get an award or when they get recognized. We're no different from them if we only do that when we get the raise. Hey. Or the car or the house. But when we get denied for the loan, the car is breaking down. And the money is not coming in. You know what? Who, man, what you doing? Is the response. That's the world's response, right? But we need to be unwavering. Because the person who we stand on is the rock. He is our foundation. So if I'm standing on that, nothing can move me or shake me. Praise God. Yeah, that's fine. After all that, but sometimes you may even say, Shep, but how can I possibly do this? You don't know. How can I? You just don't get it. How can I do this? It's the wrong attitude. And let me show you why. This isn't up there, I don't think, but Psalm 11. I'm going to read just what, I do have just that one part. Here's what David, let me read the first three verses to you. He says, I trust in the Lord for protection, so why do you say to me, fly like a bird to the mountains for safety. The wicked are stringing their bows and fitting their arrows on the bowstrings. They shoot from the shadows at those whose hearts are right. The foundations of law and order have collapsed. What can the righteous do? So here's David like, yo, we are in trouble. What am I supposed to do? But then he said something very important. Can we read that? In the midst of all of that, the Lord is in his holy temple. And when he's there, I'm good. When he's there, I'm good. I have nothing to worry about. I hate to tell you this, but it has nothing to do with you. Let's keep reading. Let's go back. Let's go back to what we just read. Let's start over. Let's go back to the first one we read with Paul. There's a key thing in these. There's a theme in these verses. Three times I begged for the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses. So the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ." Let's see what Peter said. "So be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold through your faith, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise, glory, and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed." Let's go back to the one we just, our theme for today. Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. It's not about you. It has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with Jesus. That's how you answer that question. How can I possibly have joy right now? Because though everything falls apart, nothing's going right, your salvation is secure. That's it. I don't have nothing. You have something. Riches and glory. Why are these, why are all these people writing about Jesus and how they can endure these things? Like, the Bible, people say, why do these people believe in this? But, like, do you understand what these people went through when they wrote this stuff? They wasn't sitting here. He was in jail most of the time, writing to people telling them, "Don't worry about me. I'm getting pummeled right now. But stay. Jesus is good. God's coming back soon." That's what he said. Jesus is coming back soon. And that was just after Jesus. They were looking forward to that. He just left. We didn't forget. When Jesus left, they was like, "He coming back?" That was fresh on their mind. Like, no matter what, they can rip me limb from limb, but Jesus coming back. I want to show this clip. And this one is intense, but I want to show this clip. The next one I have is a little intense, but bear with me on this one. I know that, and we're going to keep this here. We're going to keep this here for the rest of the time we're up here. If all else fails in your life, if you say, "I don't have a reason to be thankful and joyful," you do have a reason. This man did this for you. Look at him. I couldn't figure it out. I told him, it was three verses I had to start with. Jesus said, "Come on, Shep, it's about me. It's about me. This is why you can write a letter from jail. This is why our ancestors can endure slavery and the hardships and burdens that they did. Because of this man. Though they changed the Bible and altered the Bible, but guess what? They still had some kind of sense of glory, some sense of this man died for me, and there's a better. If I'm suffering here, I'm identifying with that. Praise God for the slave master. People always want to say, oh, that's why slavery, the Christian is all, they give you all of that mess. But how is it that our ancestors survived on this foundation, this rock for so long, even though they took parts out of it, and we still singing the hymns they started? It's because they saw this picture. We so comfortable. We don't suffer. We don't suffer like this. That should be you. So why again can't you be thankful? Why again can't we have joy? Why can't we pray all the time? You tired? Look at this man. If y'all don't understand how he's hanging, he's suffocating. And just to breathe, he has to raise himself up against this wood that's not comfortable with all those. He's already in a critical condition, but he's thinking about you. He didn't come down. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He kept his head up. Looking to the Father saying, this is for y'all. For somebody here who might not know the passion, or might not know what's going on, or may not have heard the gospel, this is a perfect picture of it. This man, like here, this is a perfect man. Righteous in every way. Wrongly persecuted and killed. Why? Simple word, love. He loved you enough to suffer and endure that. I didn't play the whole 7-minute clip because it's too much to see him get beat like that. But to see that picture of him, them sticking that cross in the ground. And here's the thing. We wear that cross so casually. We wear that thing. It look nice. My little Jesus, peace. There's nothing pretty about that thing. We wear that to identify with it. Yes, mine might have some platinum or some gold or silver, but I'd rather it run red because that's what his did. And because of that, because of this, because of that beating he took for you, you can live forever in his presence with a new body, with no sickness, no disease. You can live with the person you were designed to be with forever. And the opposite of that doesn't come close to what that looks like. The wages of sin is death now. Eternal separation from God. And it's free. Man, that looked like it cost something. And all we got to do is accept it. It's a free gift. I take free gifts. I don't know about y'all. But this one has eternal implications. This is not just something that's going to fade when I leave here. If you're here today and don't know what decision to make, I'm telling you right now, it's the best decision you can make for your life. You want to be able to say, I always have joy, no matter what's going on, because I didn't take... Don't ever lose sight of this, family. Don't ever lose sight of it because life can be miserable. But at least I didn't have to do this. If I get a splinter, oh. My Savior got nails in his hands and his feet, a crown of thorns, and his scourge. Just, he can't even recognize him. That picture that God put up was the act, same guy. The picture we looked at with the sun and the sun, it's the same guy. So I can imagine, I'm pretty sure that's what, he can't even recognize him at this point. And I want to read one more scripture that kind of just puts this all into perspective for us. This is Paul again. What a brother, right? We are pressed on every side by troubles. we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. Stop there. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. That's a little weird. I suffer so that the death of Jesus, so we can share in the death so that the life may be seen. That's what our ancestors got. That's what they got when they were being whipped too for no reason. They said, suffering, I'm identifying with the Savior more than you are. That's telling me that you're reading this Bible. I'm more like him than you. That's why we still here, family. Somebody persevered. Somebody got it. But we're not perplexed in America. We're not hunted down. We're not knocked down. But here it is, 11, still. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. Not in America. So that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. Listen to this language. We live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death. This has resulted in eternal life for you. We continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fixed our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Once again, that's 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 18. Listen, that language is that. When I heard that, you can listen. I could read that before a football game and be ready to go. I'm like, let's go, Paul. He's like, man, everything's going wrong, is what he's saying. Though everything is going wrong, praise God, because one, through my suffering, I get to identify with this man. Two, you can receive salvation because of the suffering that I'm going through for the name of Christ Jesus. And three, if you've accepted him, all this stuff doesn't last anyway. We got a hope. So forget the stuff that's happening to me now, because it's not going to last long. Take my body. What can mere men do to me? Be afraid of the one who can do both. Body and soul. So what again is going on in your life? Why is it hard to smile and be thankful? If you don't remember anything, remember the cross. And the great thing for those, again, who don't know, he didn't stay there. That's the awesome part. Is that he died like this. There's scientific evidence that proves that no one ever survived a Roman crucifixion. Even he did die. But we know that 3 days later he rose again, defeating sin and death, ascending to the right hand of the Father. And all you got to do is say, I identify with this man's death, burial, resurrection, and now I get to ascend as well. That's it. That's it. So when I was thinking about it, how do I put this thing together? It's simple. This is about Jesus. It's just think about me. And if you can look at that picture and not feel thankful, we need to talk. We need to go back to the beginning and say, where did the salvation start? Because this man right here did it for me and you and everybody else. He did it for people who would say no. But he gave everybody opportunity through that death on the cross.